Happy 2012. Thanks for ringing in the new year with us here at Prep Sports Now. We're back. We know basketball kind of gets jumbled when all these teams are in tournaments over the winter break, and we haven't been so consistent on this podcast. But we're telling you, from here on out, the rest of the season, we'll be here Mondays, today Tuesday, here on Prep Sports Now to talk high school basketball. About to get heated back up, like I said, Ray Brewer. What sticks out to you going into the second semester of high school basketball, I guess?
Well, the parity for me really stands out. Like, one day I think, you know, I have a team that could be a contender or a sleeper, and then the next day they lose lopsidedly or to a team that I don't think is even a playoff-worthy team, and it's just like it's kind of a head-scratcher. And it makes for some fun. It makes our job a little more difficult in terms of trying to tell you who's going to win the games. But a lot of how did this happen for me so far in the season? I'll give you an example. Basic, I know, has a few good players, but I didn't expect them to compete with Coronado. But Coronado needed two overtimes to beat Basic. And I thought it would be a game that, you know, Coronado might win by 15, 20 points. And anything could happen in hoop. It's a 32-minute game, fouls, slowing the ball down, whatever your strategy.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. And I think maybe the division I look at, you mentioned the Southeast, the Coronado and Basic game, and I see it there too. There's a bunch of teams that can beat each other. But the league I look at the most to talk about this parity is the Northeast. I mean, just look at this league right now. I think there's five teams that – are good enough to be in the playoffs. Obviously, all five can't go. Four of them are going to go, but you've got Desert Pines, El Dorado, Valley, Canyon Springs, Las Vegas. I think those are all good teams, and one of them is going to be left out.
Exactly, and the parity is unbelievable. And you even look at some of the teams you didn't mention, you know, Shap and Rancho, very capable. Are they playoff-worthy? Probably not, but are they going to impact the way the league folds out? I would think so. You know, Canyon Springs, you know, they're 2-0 in the league. I don't know if we thought that they'd be that good. You know, they lose their coach. Freddie Banks takes over. He's very capable. There's no doubt about that. But they lost like 11 of 12 players. Everybody out there is a first-time varsity guy. You got to go to one of their games. I told you Shaq Carr was the real deal. He proved me right. And you fell in love with one of their players. Or you liked one of their players. One of their players, other guys.
Yeah, I was real impressed with Canyon Springs. But, you know, we look at the 2-0 record and say that that we're not sure they'd be that. Well, they really teetered very close on the brink of not being 2-0. That game with Las Vegas went two overtimes.
I told you Vegas was going to win. I had the points in that on our little.
Oh, yeah, you're up $5 for the podcast. I forgot about that. Looked like I would say you were golden at the beginning of the second overtime, because Las Vegas still had really all of its guys in, and Canyon, pretty much everyone had fouled out, but Canyon found a way to get it done. You mentioned the other kid that I've fallen in love with, Jared Davis. Unbelievable player, and it's really weird. I may have mentioned this to you, but last year, if you remember, Canyon Springs, state champions, they had two great players, right? Mikey Thompson and Jared Brandon. Not to take away anything from any of the other kids, but those two guys are who led them there. They were best friends their whole life. They always played basketball together, that whole story. Well, you got the exact same thing this year with Shaq Carr and Jared Davis. They're great friends. They've played together since they were in diapers, supposedly. And I think you're seeing history repeat itself. They're sophomores. I can't even imagine how good these kids are going to be when they're seniors. I think the Davis kid had like 30 points when I saw him, a bunch of rebounds. Just so Canyon Springs has the talent. It's just going to be, are they going to be consistent and developing enough to threaten to win that league?
Okay, could I go total big picture on you? Okay, Gorman is obviously the team to beat. Nobody's going to touch him this year. Muhammad, Carter when he's healthy, Roscoe Allen, Morant, Stanley, they're loaded. But after this year, they lose all those guys. They got to kind of rebuild. So they've got Steven Zimmerman, the freshman. He's a top recruit for, 2015? And they got the point guard, who we both like, Noah Robothan. Probably said the last name wrong. Hit a clutch shot in Florida, makes big plays. I don't think he has any offers yet, but he'll be a D1 guy. Do you take the core of the two guys at Gorman or your two guys at Canyon.
Well,
to try to build around.
Yeah, that's true. And here's the one thing, though. I mentioned those two guys. I think they're Canyon's best players. Canyon has an entire – I think their whole sophomore class is just loaded. So it's more than two guys. I'm sure it's the same way at Gorman. I think maybe you have – well, I haven't really seen the Gorman kids as much. You probably have to take Gorman. But it's really weird. I just see this thing as so cyclical. I think that it's really going to repeat itself. I think that when these kids are seniors that are at Gorman right now – that are at Canyon, excuse me, right now that are sophomores – I think they're going to be state championship contenders. I think they're going to be one of the two best teams in the state. And the other one's going to be Gorman. It's going to be a lot like last year, the last 2 years. Maybe that doesn't happen this year. And, you know, I don't think you can go wrong picking either of those cores at those two schools.
And I think where Gorman would have the edge is that you know how their players are going to develop. You know what you're going to get over there because, you know, Grant Rice has been there a decade. A lot of his coaches have been there with him. He's going to put his kids, because of the resources they have, you know, at top camps and top tournaments, and they're going to consistently go about it. You don't know what to expect at Canyon. You know, you don't know how Freddie's going to run his program. You don't know how those kids are going to develop, and they probably won't have some of the same out-of-season opportunities to shine as those kids at Gorman does. And that's what you're going to run into no matter what you do with when you face Gorman. Bottom line.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, but at the same time, I think this was a lot of the stuff we maybe kind of sounds like what we were saying last year. We really didn't think that Canyon had a real chance to win the state championship. We thought it was going to be Gorman. We saw what ended up happening. Canyon won. I think Canyon is going to have another chance here in a couple years, but
I feel so cheated that we never got that game.
Yeah, I know.
It just hurts, man. You know, but it shows you the parity we had. Not only did Gorman, Big Bad Gorman, get knocked off, but Canyon was lucky to make it. They were lucky to beat Sierra Vista in the semifinals.
Sierra Vista dominated the game for three-fourths of it until the very end, then just fell apart.
And they were lucky to beat Foothill in the regional tournament.
That's the one I still can't believe.
I mean, we could have had a Foothill or a Sierra Vista or a team that probably wouldn't have been in our top five going into the playoffs win the state tournament last year. So it can be done.
It can be done. We'll have to see what happens this year. Any other teams that kind of stick out on your radar? We're talking a lot about Canyon Springs. That's because I saw them. They won the double overtime game. But I don't think either of us are going to say Canyon Springs is up there in the top, you know, four or five this year.
No, but I think they have a potential to win a game in the playoffs.
I mean, talent-wise, I think they are in that top, but I mean, it's still young, still coming together. So who else is up there that's going to make some noise?
Well, we talked Centennial and Palo Verde earlier in the year, the Northwest, the two teams in that league that have a pulse of beating each other. And I'm telling you right now, they're a combined, 19-2, both undefeated in the league. Centennial beat up on some California schools over the holiday. Palo's got the great guards with Winder and Matlock. I'm telling you right now, that's going to be a great game later on this month. Palo Verde Centennial, and I tell you, both teams are going to beat Gorman. Let's not be so silly, but I think they're going to be able to give them a run for their money. And I think the Centennial team might be better than we thought. Now I know it's still early, but at 11-1, and they're putting up some nice numbers.
Yeah, would you say it's too far to call Centennial right now the second best team in town? I think the only ones in the conversation are Centennial, Palo, and Clark. Maybe I don't. I mean, maybe.
No. See, Clark for me, it's tough when you got all these new pieces. They've got to prove it to me first.
Clark, they're 11-2, 3-0.
They lost to Chi-Town, baby. 11. And who did Chi-Town lose to the other day?
All right, well, here's my point, my sterling analysis that I was pointing out to you earlier. 11-2, 3-0 in the league. Right now, they are in first, and Bishop Gorman is in second. How about that? The Clark Chargers, if the playoffs started today, they're the one seed in the Southwest.
Well, just because they've played more games.
I know, but still, it's still weird to see Clark
Gorman
1, Bishop Gorman 2. 7-3, Bishop Gorman.
How many points do you want to take Clark when they play Gorman?
I'm not making that. I'm not making the argument. I'm just saying it's kind of a...
It's ironic.
Yeah, it's ironic to see them on top of the standings and Gorman in second.
Okay.
Bonanza in third at 2-1. I don't think Bonanza is...
No, they probably...
much of a chance to get to the playoffs.
Here's the deal. Centennial beat Coronado by about 8 points, a good win. Coronado probably one of the top three teams in the Sunrise, despite what happened against Basic. So I think, yeah, you're right. Back to your question, is Centennial the second best team in town? I would think so. But I tell you what, I'll definitely take Palo Verde when they play Centennial.
They split last year. Two really good games. I think Palo won the first one.
At Centennial, and Centennial won the second one.
At Palo, right. So you're taking you think Palo's going to win both of them this year?
I'm not saying that. What I wanted to say is if you give me some points, I will take Palo.
Well, that game's still a ways away, and I know I think we're repeating ourselves because Palo Centennial is the game we talk about every time we get on here.
That's it's like my 2012 Gorman Canyon game.
Yeah, I really think it is probably the most looked forward to game. But we got plenty of good games this week. Why don't we go over every week on LasVegasSun.com? If you go to our blog section on the high school basketball page, we're going to pick about 8 to 10 games. A little bit of a short week this week since we're starting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday games. But there's some good ones. Let's go ahead and start with Wednesday, one of the teams we've been talking about a lot. Canyon Springs is visiting Desert Pines. What do you think about this one?
You know, until you beat them, they're the champs. Canyon Springs dominated the Northeast probably the last 2 years. And I think they have more. DP's top three guys are good and older and probably better than Canyon's top three guys right now. Even though we've told you how great those two Canyon guys are, more than likely D1 guys. But I think 1 to 10, Canyon's better. And I think as the game wears on, they're going to be able to kind of pull ahead. I like C Springs. It's going to be close, but give me the Pioneers, baby.
Wow, you almost sold me. I do think Canyon Springs is going to have a depth advantage here. Canyon Springs does have a lot of kids in come off the bench and play. That being said, I think I'm going to go Desert Pines. I've heard you rave about Julian Jacobs enough, and I know they have some good things going on over there. I think it's a close game, but I'm going to say Desert Pines prevails at home.
Okay.
Not out of the realm of possibility.
No,
right?
I think it. Listen, a home game in that league doesn't mean much. FYI, just to let you know.
I think you always underrate home court. Dude, always.
This is not Hoosiers. Okay.
My point. We've gotten into this before, so sorry if you listened to it the podcast before. But why don't we compile the record of every high school basketball game in the last 5 years? Who's going to have a winning record, the home team or the visiting team, or is it going to be 500? I'd be willing to bet the home team at least has a 550 winning percentage, which means an advantage.
Maybe we have our stats guy, Ed Houth, do this.
I'm sure he'd be thrilled about that.
He would hop in it.
I guarantee the home team has won more than they've lost. So that I think that proves my point.
I mean, do you think Gorman's like, uh-oh, we got to go play Western at Western?
No,
it's going to be that tight gym, and people are going to be – now, the old House of Glory on Maryland Parkway, I agree with you. Tough to play, the G-blocks down your throat, the whole game, they're right there on the court. But you don't get – at any school, okay, Palo and Centennial, they do a good job of bringing students. I could maybe say there you get a little bit of an advantage. Everywhere else, you got like 13 kids, a few cheerleaders, people are there. It's more of a social scene. You know, the girls' game is going on across the way. And here's the thing that really upsets me, Case. In the middle of a game, two things. During a timeout, when kids like ball boys or whatever or at halftime go on the court and start shooting around at halftime, do you ever see that?
Yeah, I don't like that.
What is this, a rec league game?
Yeah.
And secondly, you know when you're trying to get from one side of the gym to the other?
Uh-huh.
And you race across when the ball's on the other end of the court?
I'm not picturing this one. I'm
okay.
Time.
So say you're a student, right? Yeah. You got your Air Jordans on, your tight jeans, your hoodie, and your leather jacket. You know the look I was telling you?
Right.
That apparently is now in style. Like, every kid, no matter what school they go to and what neighborhood, somehow has got a pair of nice, clean Nike shoes, nice jeans, a hoodie, and a leather jacket on. That's like the uniform, okay? They're trying to get from one side of the gymnasium to the next, right? So they walk on the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
So they wait when the ball's on the other side of the court, and then you got kids darting across. Like, can we put up a few cones and don't let anybody go? If you want to go on one side, go in on the stadium over there. If you want to go on the other, go in on that side. You're there to watch the game.
I get it. The second one doesn't really bother me as much as the first one. Oh. I agree with you on the first one. I don't know how we got into this, but I still rest my case that home court advantage definitely matters. I think if you poll the coaches, they would definitely say it matters.
They have to say it matters.
I think if you look at the wins, it would matter. So I rest my case. I think it matters. If you're an athlete, too, it goes beyond if there's fans or not. You just have this familiarity. You played sports. I'm surprised you don't remember this. When you
never
have,
lost. I never lost. My team never lost.
When
we
you have the routine, when you have the routine of playing at your own home, you're in your own locker room. It just feels a lot more foreign. You have all these other things to think about, even if you're only traveling
get
5 minutes
bus,
away.
Get off the bus and win. It's, dude, the courts are the same. The ball is the same. Play ball. It's not like you're going to play, you know, at the Pittsburgh Steelers, or if you're going to play at Cameron Indoor
Stadium.
All
right, so you tell me if we technically did my proposal the last 5 years, compiled games, you think there would be no difference? You think it would be 50-50, home and away?
Well, I don't think it even matters. I think the best team wins on any night. You're not going to say, okay, this game's a coin flip. It's evenly matched. Who's going to win? Okay, like, I think Arborview Legacy this week is going to be evenly matched. Who's going to win? Well, I give the advantage to Legacy because they're at home, and they're going to win by 3. That tough Legacy home crowd. Dude, Legacy's going to have 200 people at the game.
You have to realize that I think playing at home goes way beyond the crowd. You only put in the crowd factor. I think it goes way beyond the crowd. There's actually a really interesting study. It was in Sports Illustrated a couple years ago that went sports all across everything. High school, college, I think professionals. And it was saying the advantages of home court are really confusing because it doesn't so much. They did a bunch of studies, and it wasn't the crowd that affected them. Crowds weren't making you miss free throws. Crowds weren't making you do this. It was some other inherent things that came out. You get a few more calls at home. I think that's the biggest thing. Referees aren't intentionally trying to do this, but if you look at fouls over the history of sports, you get more fouls called when you're on the road. That makes a huge difference. I'm going to say this. Canyon Springs, Las Vegas, the only game I've covered this year, Canyon Springs won in double overtime, like we said, by 1. If that game was at Las Vegas, I say they would have lost.
Was it the bus ride to Canyon that got the kids?
It was just – there's
okay,
just a difference.
If you go from Vegas to, like, California, okay, yeah, I think there's an advantage.
When Canyon plays at Vegas, if they played at Vegas today, I would make Vegas probably a 1 or 2 point favorite.
Vegas is the better team.
If Vegas played at Canyon, I make Canyon a 1 or 2 point
okay.
favorite.
We forgot to mention, Case, that new year, new podcast. I'm sure you hear us both clearly.
Hopefully.
Without any buzzing.
Yeah.
We'll move on. Let me, El Dorado, Vegas. Have we done this yet?
No, we have not. And I'm really interested to hear what you say about this one.
Okay, listen. I've been on Vegas pretty religiously in football and basketball for 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty safe to say. I just was super impressed with this El Dorado team when they played. I covered them when they played DP. They fell behind by 15, and they rallied and they kept it close. I think El Dorado's got a lot more athletes than Vegas. Vegas might be a 1 or 2 trick pony, and I think El Dorado is going to flex its muscles and win this one by almost 20 points. It's also a huge rivalry game in that area. It gets no respect because it's just the northeast part of town. I got El Dog by 19. It's going to get
19 at Las Vegas. Come on. That's ridiculous. Can we please make this the $5 bet of the week? How many points are you going to give me?
I'll give you 11.
11? I would take Las Vegas in a heartbeat.
Plus 11?
I've taken Las Vegas plus 11. $5.
I got El Dog minus 11.
I actually think Las Vegas is going to defend that home court. I got the Wildcats winning. What's their home court called? I know in football, it's Frank Nails Stadium. Is it Frank Nails Court?
Well, no, it used to be called the Cat House, even though I know what that is. But, no, seriously, Seat Williams, the radio guy, used to go around and do games, and he used to have a nickname for all these places.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cat House. All right, well.
Anyways, Silverado at Basic. Now, I'm going to totally contradict myself here. Basic is probably the one place where I think you get a hometown advantage because it's still that small community. A lot of people come out. It's a social event, and they really care if Basic wins. With that said, I think Silverado at Basic, I think the Skyhawks of Silverado are the team that you don't want to meet in that division, the Southeast. I guarantee you they either pick up a W against Foothill or Coronado before the year's over, and I got them beaten basic by at least 15.
This just shapes up so perfectly, and I swear we didn't plan this. We just argued. It just happened. You picked all three road teams the Wednesday games. I'm picking all three home teams. Give me basic. I think Silverado, look, they're good. They've improved. They're 10-2, but I think that record is a little misleading. I don't think they're truly a 10-2 team. I think basic and Silverado are evenly matched. I'm going basic.
Okay. So the last, what, 2.5 years we've been doing this podcast, right?
Yeah.
Give or take. Right. Who's been your favorite player of all time?
My favorite player
Case
of all
Keefer,
time?
Case Keefer, man crush number one.
Well, I know you're going with Devontae Boyd, right?
Yeah. Devontae Boyd is basic's clear team leader. Devontae Boyd is a legit D1 kid, needs to get in the weight room. I just don't think he could beat Silverado single-handedly. I think the Hawks, like they proved against Green Valley, I told you 3 weeks ago, I think Silverado's good. Next up, my Palo Verde Panthers at your Cimarron Memorial Spartans.
I got Palo Verde.
You're taking a road team?
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to handle the calls and the travel?
Palo is a lot better than Cimarron.
They are. Winder's a stud. Matt Locke has been one of my guys, and I think they're well coached. And for whatever it's worth, if you have a good coach, you get a few wins in all high school sports.
Agreed. Palo all the way in that one.
Okay. Spring Valley at Durango. Durango was in Minnesota over the holidays for a tournament. Durango also lost to Agassiz Prep this year. Definitely not that good of a team, but they do have some good players. Paris Estrada, who is only a sophomore, is their best guy, and I think they're going to put up a good fight. I just think they're too tired from the trip. Spring Valley, I got them winning close. Another road team, 62-56.
You know I love Spring Valley. I'm on the bandwagon this year. They're kind of my bandwagon team. I love the sophomore kid, Clancy. I think they're going to make the playoffs, but I'm just in the mood to disagree with you today, and I think this is another toss-up. So I'm going to go Durango. I think these teams are pretty evenly matched, to be honest.
Okay, that's fair.
So Durango, I'll say by two. Next game, a game you keep calling a toss-up, Arborview and Legacy. I don't really see it. I think that I haven't been impressed with Arborview. Obviously, I haven't seen them this year. I saw them once last year. I just don't know if they have the athletes of some of these other schools in the Northwest. I like Legacy to win here.
So I like Legacy as well, only by about a handful of points. You seem to think it'll be double digits.
Well, I mean, it's at Legacy, so yeah. Obviously, I mean, that's good for No, I really do like Legacy. I think that Arborview, if I saw them last year, they played really good defense but didn't have a lot of scores, and I think that might be the problem again.
Yeah, now Legacy getting there is always an adventure, so I could agree that, it's like go to St. George, Utah, make a left, and you're there. But nonetheless.
I've never been to Legacy.
Oh.
That's one of the only schools I think
I've
ever
been to. It's an oil change drive. Okay, next game, Coronado at Green Valley. Don't know what to think of Coronado, to be honest with you.
Here's what I choose to think, and I could be wrong. I choose to think that they played some tough teams. Maybe they started a little bit slow, but I think they're going to find their rhythm now. Now that league play started, I really expect them to go on a big run and beat just about everybody they face the next month or so. I think it's going to start with Green Valley. I think they go to Green Valley High and win a somewhat lopsided game.
I have them winning by 15 as well. Last year, they only won 61-60 at Coronado after beating them by about 40. I mean, they won 61-60 at Green Valley after beating them by about 40 at their place. I think
how that happens. That they would be so much closer at Green Valley.
Yes.
And they would destroy them at their own place.
Here's one part of my logic is that Coronado is good. They're likely the class of the Southeast, maybe even the Sunrise region. I think maybe they're a little too confident and they get complacent when they play teams they're inferior than. Hence Green Valley last year, hence basic this year. I might be wrong, but you could make the argument.
Yeah, you could make the argument. The only thing I would say is Green Valley, they started pretty terribly last year, not just to be blunt, and I think they really finished the year strong. They looked good at the end of the year. They're kind of a different team, so maybe that's some defense, but I think we both agree on this one totally. Coronado by double digits.
Yeah, and Green Valley, FYI, is 4-10.
Yikes.
Despite having Darrell McDonald, one of the top two guys in the world.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, please give us some feedback. Does home court advantage matter? I know it does. We need to convince Ray Brewer. Prep Sports Now, we'll be back next week.